Well, good morning. Well, that was weak. Let's try this again. Good morning.
Good morning.
That's way better. Thank you. You know, the times of loss, we sure can't feel badly for Tracy's dad. He's walking on streets of gold. It's us that are hurting. An amazing, when the Bible records the only time that we know that Jesus cried is he was on his way to raise Lazarus from the dead. He knew what he was going to do. He wasn't crying for Lazarus. He's crying for the hurt of his kids. And it's a time, such a strange combination of feelings. Some of you might remember when my wife, first wife, was dying, and the Lord brought a revelation of learning to have joy and pain at the same time. And I, even though I would never said this, I kind of thought one had to stop before the other could come. And it's just not even true or biblical. But we can have both, and it's a strangeness. All right, well, I want to share something this morning. I really felt quickened this week as I was praying. I was a little sidetracked earlier. Donna's middle son lives in Michigan, and they had a baby February 3rd, and so we got to see it and hold it yesterday and Thursday and Friday, and it was so cute. I wish I had a picture of her, but she's cute, right? Aren't you, right? Absolutely. But I feel like I have something that I think is going to really apply to us today. From 1 Kings chapter 17. You have your Bible or your phone or wherever. Would you turn to it, please? I'd like you to see that for yourself on these amazing words of Scripture. Now, to put the setting, Elijah was a prophet, and there was this king called Ahab. Now, he was not a good dude. He was evil, and then he added to his evil by marrying a lady named Jezebel. And we've all heard of all the Jezebels, you know. I mean, it's just nasty. That's the word. I'm sure glad that no one names their daughter Jezebel. And it was just a really bad time for God's children of Israel. And God knew that he had to do something in order to correct the evil that was so prevalent in the whole nation of Israel. So he sent Elijah. He says, go to King Ahab and tell him, hey, dude, it's not going to rain until I say it's going to rain. Pretty bold statement. Anybody brave enough to go to some government official and say, hey, yo, no, you're not getting any taxes till I say you're going to get taxes or whatever. Pretty bold statement. And then in verse 2, I think it's almost comical. It says, then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, leave here. Like, get out of Dodge, buddy. This king is not happy with you. You're going to lop off your head. And so, Elijah was given very, very specific and clear direction. Leave here, turn eastward, and hide in the Kereth Ravine. Now, that was about 40 miles from where he was in Samaria. And, you know, his car was broken down, so he had to walk. And it was dusty. And, you know, in those days, you had to carry everything that you wanted with you. And he didn't know how long he's going to be there. But Elijah received very specifics. Go down to this particular place. And he did. And then he received a promise. And the ravens are going to feed you bread and meat in the morning and evening, and you'll drink from the brook. Amazing promise. Now let's just look at this a bit. Anybody know much about ravens? They're not a nice bird. And they don't share, ever, especially meat. And it was this amazing thing that Elijah lived in. He went down, received a clear direction, and received a promise. And then we need to recognize that he lived in the miraculous provision of God. It was miraculous. These birds flew over and dropped. Can you imagine? Just try to imagine that particular scenario. These birds, and you're trying to, I think he's trying to catch it. He wouldn't have it fall in the dirt, you know, because water was, you know, really precious in those days. Do you think he had the same meat every day? Was it chicken one day? What do you think? I don't know, but I don't know. I have a very weird imagination. I think he prayed for certain types of meat. And twice a day. Now, we don't know absolutely for sure how long he was there. Theologians don't really see it. We know from the time Elijah spoke to Ahab until it rained, it was 3.5 years. And he spent quite a bit of time, somewhere between 9 months and 2 years. My personal opinion is about a year. So this was not a couple of weeks. This was a lengthy period of time that he stood there, out there, trying to catch the bread and meat every morning and evening. Amazing provision. Miraculous. Supernatural. He lived in it by himself. Couldn't tell anybody. Because there's no one around. Couldn't have any pictures because his iPhone was broken. And, you know, he just lived in such an amazing situation. It was awesome. And then the next verse, verse 7. Some time later, the brook dried up. So, about a year probably. I don't know about you, but if I'd been living in the miraculous and God just supernaturally provided and all of a sudden something started to go bad with it, I think I would have started digging where the brook had been. You know, I'd have been digging and trying to find, okay, where the water's got to be here somewhere. I think I would have tried to get the miracle to continue. Now, we don't know if the ravens stopped bringing the meat and bread. We don't know. It doesn't say. I kind of think they stopped, but we don't know that for sure. Now, my question is, when the brook dried up, and done wrong, this is how I want to apply this today. I want to apply this to COVID and the situations we find ourselves in. Very real, very specific. Now, COVID came not any of our faults. True? Now, maybe it got passed along by some mistakes that people made, but the original disease wasn't any of our responsibility. And Elijah lived in an amazing time seeing God do amazing things. I have seen God do things during COVID that he didn't do before. Anybody say amen to that? I don't know how much of you know the move of God amongst the Islam world. There are more people getting saved in the Islam world than any other particular ethnicity group in the world. Whole villages are coming to Jesus. And God is doing an amazing thing within the world of the Islam nations, where he's using dreams and visions that people that have been staunch believers in the Muslim belief would dream about Jesus. And the next day someone would come and say, oh, can I tell you about Jesus? That's happening right now. It didn't happen much before that. Is God using this? Hello, is God using COVID? Did he send it? Absolutely not. But he's using it. So, first of all, I want us to say that it's not because there's something wrong. I don't happen to believe that COVID, some people say it's the judgment of God. I don't happen to believe that. I think hell's behind it. Because he came to steal, kill, destroy. Sounds like hell's goals, not God's. But God will use anything available to him, which is pretty much anything. But it's not because Elijah had done something wrong. It's not because there was a correction. He had lived in the miraculous. He obeyed God. He walked the 40 miles. And this Kereth Ravine was no bigger than this room. We're not talking about this big arena here where, you know, you can go down about. I mean, the bubbling brook came up in a very specific place and at a very specific time. And it was small. And Elijah went there and lived day after day just watching God provide for him. And then, in the course of time, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Verse 8 says, then. Notice the word is a time word. Something has to take place prior before you can use the word then. The brook had to dry up before then. And I want to say this to you prophetically. I believe we're going to see the majority of COVID end in 2021. But how we respond is so critical for us in the day and future. For you, for your family, for your children, your children's children, for your business, and for this church body. And how we respond, because it's going to come to an end soon. And what we do is so critically important because it's coming to an end. But my observation is that I think for many, many people, it's just that we can just get through this and get back to normal. My friends, we're never going to go back to normal. Everybody hear that? We're never going to go back to how it was. Hallelujah. We were not accomplishing all that God wanted us to in those situations. But I think we have taken the attitude, if we could just hang on until I can go to a store without a dumb mask, then I'll be okay. My friends, that's such a short-sighted perspective. And so short of what God wants us, how for us to look in the future. It's not a time just to take the attitude, well, if I could just make it until, you know, this COVID is pretty much dealt with. If I could just wait until. My friends, it's not a time to wait. I believe with all my heart, it's a time for us to press into God in a new way, in a new place, because there's a new word and a new time for this as a body and for you as a person. It's not a time to be passive. It's a time to say, okay, God, what is it does you have for us? And I have several questions I'd like to challenge us with, for us to look at as we are walking through a difficult time. It is a difficult time. But let's look at a couple of questions. Questions we should ask. First of all, what's God trying to teach me? Are you looking for lessons to learn? Or are you just waiting for this irritation, this frustration, this to be done? Oh, please hear. I believe the word of the Lord today. That is an attitude that will only produce more heartache. But if we're saying, okay, God, what are you trying to teach me? What do you want me to learn? What have you learned? Think about the last year. What have you learned through these unique circumstances? What has God been putting his finger on? What is he saying? Let's work on this. Anybody? What is God trying to teach me? Secondly, is there a new direction coming? And I want to say a very, very hard yes, 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 there is. If it's new, that means we haven't done it before. Hello? It means it's new. When in the book of Joshua, when they'd wandered around the desert for 40 years, ever wonder why they wandered around for 40 years? You back in those days, men didn't stop and ask directions. But they wandered around the desert for 40 years, and now it came time, actually came time to move in the promised land. And God began to prepare them. And he said, now tomorrow morning, it's going to happen. Get ready. This is what's going to happen. And it says, since you've never been this way before. And I want to say to us, in the name of the Lord, we have not been through the results of what's going to happen at the end of COVID. We've not been that way. It's going to have a new time. People are going to have a new openness. There's going to be new strategies of evangelism, a new strategies of worship, a new strategies of home groups, a new strategies of your family and what you're going to do. It's new. It's not old. It's not just getting back to normal. That's too short. That's too short-sighted vision. What's a new thing? And I plead with you today that you be asking God, what's the new thing that you're wanting us to do? What's that new direction? What's that new fresh thing that you have for us? Yes. What is it that, how are you going to use this? Another third question I'd like to ask. All right, has this been used by the enemy? Yep, the enemy uses it too. How many have felt discouraged in the last year before? How many have felt a little bit down? How many are like, oh brother, this is disgusting. How many felt like your government was your enemy? Oh, that's kind of scary, isn't it? See, there's attacks. The enemy has used this as well. But if we only look what the enemy's doing, we're going to be so missing that new, fresh thing that God has for you and I in the days ahead. It's new and fresh. The brook dried up. Now, let me just go, I'll come back to the questions in a minute, but I want to go forward with Elijah. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain. Then the word of the Lord came. Remember, sequential word, then. Then the word of the Lord came, and he says, go at once, that means today, and go down to this particular house. And Elijah went from living in the miraculous alone. Now, it was miraculous, but he did it alone, wasn't affecting anybody else. He went down, and then he went to this widow who had a son. She says, okay, could you get a little bread and maybe some water? She said, I haven't got diddly squat. I'm not sure what diddly squat is, but it's not much. That's really funny. You can laugh now anytime. And And Elijah spoke to her prophetically. Your flour is not going to run out, nor your oil. The next verse says, but make me first the first loaf of bread. Principle of giving to God first. Giving away first. Not waiting until you have enough in the bank account to feel comfortable. Then you'll give. That'll never, ever, ever, ever happen. Give and you shall receive. And there's a principle here that Elijah, I look at that and I think, well, that was a little arrogant. That was a little selfish. Good grief, Elijah, this poor woman doesn't even have enough. He's going to eat it and die. You say, me first? Well, if she obeyed God, she was a step of faith. Because she had to give to the man of God, and the oil didn't. And then he went from there, shortly after that, little boy died. And then he was used by God to raise the dead. How many think that multiplying food and raising the dead is a promotion from getting birds feed you? But see, he would have never, ever gone to the next step until the brook had dried up. My friends, the old has coming to an end. How we've done things, we won't do it in the future. Can you give me that water? How we've done things is not that it was wrong. Thank you. Isn't she wonderful? How we've done things isn't because there's something wrong. The brook dried up, not because there's a problem. It's because God has something new. And we will not look for the new until where you're at with it. Should I get the vaccine? Should I not? Should I wear a mask? Should I not? Should I do that? That's not the issue. It's so far. We get so caught up in little petty arguments. That's not the issue. Or who's president or what government is. Let me just say this. There's two, real extremes. Those that everything is, it's going to destroy the world, COVID, and it's all conspiracy and the government's going to kill us. Neither one are true, by the way. My confidence is not in who's in office as president or Congress or the Senate. My confidence is in the kingdom of God. And he does not ask us a lot about doing things governmentally. He talks about him and the kingdom. I think he's getting ready to come back. And it's going to get worse, the Bible says. It's getting worse. Anybody notice? We're right in the middle of the prophetic fulfillment before he returns. So fighting to get it better is pouring water in a container with holes in it. Because that's not where the improvement's going to come. It's going to come when people have an encounter with Jesus. And they really understand him. Elijah got something new, but the old had to dry up first. He would have never gone down to that widow's house if the brook would have still been bubbling. He'd have been bubbling in that brook and drinking that water. My friends, some things are drying up because God's drying it up. Because God's doing it. Not to dry up, just to dry up, but then the word of the Lord. Let's go back to our questions. What's God trying to teach me? Is there a new direction? Am I under attack? Now, are we doing what we already know we should be doing? It's a really important question. Am I doing what I already know? And there's some things that you know deep in your heart that you should be doing. Are you spending time regularly? Are we in fellowship? Are we worshiping? So we need to make sure that we're doing what we already know that God has told us to do. Now, where is my concentration? This is where I think people get so sidetracked, because their problem, I mean, there is significant problems going on in the world. Amen, amen, amen. But my concentration is not in the problem. It's who's in charge. And it's not the president or the Congress or the Supreme Court. It's King Jesus. Yes. And we dare not concentrate on the problem. All right, got to wrap this up. What should we do then? What should I do? First of all, correct what's wrong. Now, that's going to prompt some of you right now. Come on. Let's be honest. We need to correct what we know. Really have been doing that. See, again, so many people that call themselves Christians are just waiting for this pandemic to be over. Then we'll be okay. It's not a time to wait. It's a time to be aggressive and to correct. Are you being patient? Are you being kind? Are you doing what you know you should be doing? Spending time with God, etc. Next, what should we do? Do something for somebody else. This will begin a pattern, by the way, because it's a pattern of outward rather than inward. Do spiritual warfare. You know, spiritual warfare, by the way, is not an indication something's wrong. Spiritual warfare is an indication hell's worried. Hell should be worried about this body. Yes. I said hell should be worried about this body. I said hell should be worried about this body. Yes. He should be worried, because we can change the world. Right. But we have to do battle against who's fighting against us. I want to gently say this, but the long-term effect of the separation is worse than the disease itself. We're not made to be alone. The very second chapter of the Bible says that. It is not good for man to be alone. And that word man there is not male. That word man is a word Adam, or people. Share with a friend. Get in fellowship. Talk to people. If you're uncomfortable being together, the phone works. All right. Worship. And then worship some more. And then worship some more after that. And then start over again. Worship is one of the most effective tools and weapons we have. A friend of mine had a vision of the enemy coming and attacking, and they rebuked him, and the enemy backed away. Came and attacked a second time. He rebuked him, and the enemy backed away. Came and attacked a third time. He rebuked him, and then he turned his back and started to worship. This time, the enemy didn't back away. Turned around and ran. An enemy cannot be around worship. Do you hear that? The enemy cannot handle worship. It'll leave. Amen? Amen? And lastly, what do you have? Has God protect you during this time? Do you still have food? Do you still have a job? Hallelujah. And developing a grateful spirit. My friends, I believe it's time for us to step up, not step aside. It's not a time to, all right, we can make it till the end, because this is the time for the church to rise up. The government has horribly failed, and I don't think they're going to get better. But we have an answer, and his name is Jesus. And we are people, yeah, the brook's dried up, but it's because there's new coming. Amen? Would you receive this? I bless you today in the name of the Lord.